Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Romans chapter 14 this morning. Happy Labor Day. Yeah, I thought maybe someone would say Happy Labor Day to you too or something like that. But I don't even know what Labor Day is about other than we get to eat food and watch college football, which is great unless you're a University of Tennessee fan. And I know a lot of you walked in here like, I got a really smart comment to say to Pastor Josh. Well, Larry Winter did, and I punched him in his face, all right? And so I don't want to hear your Tennessee Volunteer fan or jokes or any of that stuff. Keep it to yourself, all right? But we're going to be in Romans 14, and I'm excited about the message we're going to share this morning. But I did want to let you know that next week, next Sunday, we're starting a new sermon series, and we're calling it this. We're calling it Joy Ride. There it is. Joy Ride. Finding joy in places that it shouldn't be found. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk for about 3 or 4 weeks through the, Philippians chapter 1 and see where the Apostle Paul, who the emphasis of that passage is all about joy, but it was everything except joyful circumstances. They say that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. And so we're going to look at Philippians 1, and I'm looking forward to starting that series next week. But today we're going to just go through Romans chapter 14 together. And as we talked about earlier, we've talked a lot, put an emphasis on connecting over the last several weeks. And while the scriptures do teach us that this is a huge part of the Christian life, is getting to know other believers and doing life together, I also want you to know that there are dangers to doing life with others. Specifically because there are dangers in doing life with others, because how many of you know there's a lot of difficult people out there? And we say it often around here, where you have people, you have problems. Where you have people, you have problems. And Christians are some of the most problematic people in the world. Did you guys know that? Do you guys realize that? Like, how many of you guys have ever been waiters or waitresses at some point in your life? Anybody ever been a waiter or waitress? I've talked to many waiters and waitresses, and not all of them would say this, but many of them would say the worst day of the week to work is Sunday afternoon. Why do you think that is? Because Christians are jerks. I mean, let's be honest. We get our worship on, get our Jesus on, and we learn about what the scriptures say, and then we go out and we mistreat our waiters and waitresses. That's loving one another, right? Christians can be jerks sometimes. How many of you guys would admit, I'm a jerk sometimes, and I know I shouldn't be, but I am, and I've been around people that they are jerks sometimes, you know? And what do we do about this? You know, Christians are some of the most opinionated people in the world, because not only do we believe our opinion is right, but we believe our opinion is right because we believe that it's backed up with scriptures. And so because we are opinionated with beliefs that we believe are backed up with scriptures, not only are we opinionated, but we're also judgmental. Have you guys ever met an opinionated, judgmental believer before? How many of you guys can point one out in the service right now? Point to them, all right? No, don't do that. Christians can not only be opinionated, but we can also be judgmental. And many of us today have dealt with these kinds of believers. And our interactions with them oftentimes leads us to put up walls. How many of you guys have ever experienced church drama or Christian drama? When we go through that stuff, I mean, we put ourselves out there. You know, I want to love one another and edify one another, pray for one another, and, you know, encourage one another, all those things. So I put myself out there, and then I'm mistreated. And then I have to deal with what I had to deal with. What we tend to do is we tend to put up walls because we don't want to have that kind of drama in our lives. Save the drama for your mama. Yeah, that's right. We even learn important cliches around this church, right? We have people who have problems, and save the drama for your mama. But now we're trying to get you to connect with more of those people. We're trying to get us to connect with people that are difficult to do life with. And you know, this is something that's not new. It's something that's been going on for a long time. We've referenced the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians several times over the last couple of months. And in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, there was drama going on between believers there. They were arguing. Some of them were saying, well, I'm with Paul. And others were like, well, I'm with Apollos. Well, I'm with Jesus. And they were arguing with one another about that. When you go to the book of Galatians, the Bible says that they were biting and devouring one another. Not only that, but you go to even to the book of Philippians, which the theme of the book of Philippians is joy. But even at the end of that book, Paul is like, hey, there's two ladies named Euodias and Syntyche. Like, if you thought your name was weird, thank the Lord that's not your name, all right? But these two ladies, Euodias and Syntyche, Paul, God led Paul to put it in there for the rest of eternity. Like, in heaven someday, somebody's going to be like, what's your name? I'm Josh. And what's your name? I'm Syntyche. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I heard about you, right? But in the book of Philippians, Paul said Euodias and Syntyche were arguing with each other. And he's like, hey, tell them to get their act together. Listen, this thing of drama between other believers is nothing new, because Christians will fight about just about anything. And the things that we like to argue about, the things that we like to fight about, lead us to believe that the person that disagrees with us is less spiritual than we are. I know that you probably understand what I'm talking about, but just in case you don't, let me just give you a couple of examples. It's September 1st, and I don't know if you've been in Walmart lately or not, but they've already put out the Halloween decorations. You guys see that? Christmas is coming up real quick. Those will be out soon. But Halloween decorations are up. And there are a lot of believers out there that would say, we as believers don't think that Christians ought to observe Halloween. It's a pagan holiday, and we don't want to have anything to do with it. And then there's another group of believers that say, well, it may have started that way and everything, but hey, who's going to turn down free candy? Like, come on, you know, get to dress up and have fun. Like, and what happens is the person that says, well, I'm all for or against Halloween, thinks they're more spiritual than the person that is doing the Halloween thing. And then you got the person that's going, well, I'm spiritual enough to understand that I'm not worshiping the devil. I can go worship God and get free candy. What better way to worship God than to get free candy? We got to start doing that in church. Candy for you, right? But what happens is you get, how many of you guys have ever heard believers fight about something stupid like this? And right now, there may be some people going, it's not that stupid. Well, listen, I'm not trying to be offensive, but there are things like that out there. There are Christians that argue about the way that you ought to dress, you know, specifically the way you ought to dress when you come to church. There's some people that would say, when you come to church, you need to make sure that you wear your best. You know, you're going to give God, you know, you're going to worship God, so you ought to dress like you're going to worship God, so you ought to wear a suit, you ought to wear a tie. And then you got a guy over here that's going, hey, I'm going to worship God, and he loves me the way I am. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And you know what happens is the person over here is going, well, he's just not very spiritual. And the person over here is going, well, he must not be very spiritual because he thinks his clothes are what gets him closer to God. See what I'm saying? And people will argue about stupid things. Sorry, maybe it's not stupid, but listen, I've heard people argue about the length of a person's hair. How, you know, 1 Corinthians does talk about it's a shame for a man to have long hair, but a lot of times people just, they jump on that and say, well, man, well, how long is it supposed to be? And then they start arguing about a woman's hair, and the Bible talks about how a woman's hair is her glory, and I heard a preacher actually say one time, he was talking about was it Mary or Martha that washed Jesus' feet with her hair? Anybody remember? You guys don't remember either, all right? We'll just say one of them, all right? Washing Jesus' feet with her hair, and this preacher says, you bless God, some of you ladies, you couldn't wash Jesus' feet with your hair. You'd have to buff his feet because your hair's, their hair's not long enough. You get it? And he thought he was being spiritual, you know? Like, and so there are people arguing and say, well, you got to have your hair this length. And other people are like, oh, it doesn't really matter. And we fight about that. There's arguments about the way that children ought to be schooled, you know? Well, you ought to have your kids in a Christian school. Well, no, you ought to homeschool them. Or you ought to have them in a public school because there needs to be salt and light in the world. And listen, people will take strong stands on all kinds of different topics. But here's what I know today. As we have been, over the last several weeks, trying to encourage you to be a part of a small group, to go beyond just worshiping into connecting with other believers, what I know is that there are going to be people with which you are going to disagree. You're going to get into a group, and it may go good. You'll have that honeymoon period where everybody's just, everything's good and hunky-dory. But guess what's going to happen? There's going to become a topic that comes up, and you are not going to agree on that topic. And the tendency is where you have people, you have problems, and because we think our way is right and the Bible backs up my opinion, then what we do is we end up becoming judgmental about that. And so there are a lot of things in the Bible that are black and white, but there are a lot of things that are also gray that are not clearly spelled out. And because of that, there is incredible potential for drama whenever we connect with other believers. God knew this. And he knew that when you get people from different backgrounds, different personalities, and differing stages of Christian maturity, it seems like a recipe for disaster. But that's why God gave us Romans chapter 14. If you have your Bibles there, we're going to be in Romans chapter 14, and we're going to understand that whenever we get together with others, we're never going to agree 100% with anyone. How many of you guys would say, I rarely agree with myself 100% of the time, right? It's so we're not going to agree, so what do we do in those kinds of situations? Look what he says in verse number 1 of Romans 14. He says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. This passage in Romans 14 is teaching us how to deal with people with whom we disagree. And for them, the area that they disagreed upon was not Halloween, it wasn't Christian or public school, but rather the issue was whether or not they ought to eat meat. How many of you guys are glad that we don't have to have that argument here at Grace Baptist Church, right? Specifically, it wasn't just a carnivore versus a, what do you call people that don't eat meat? Herbivore or vegan or weird, is that what I heard? It's it wasn't just a matter of meat simply, but rather there was meat they would purchase from these markets, and the people that were selling the meat would dedicate that meat to their false gods and to their false idols. And so it left the Christians in a conundrum, because that's a big word, conundrum. Do you know what that word means? I don't either. But it left them in this position to where, what do we do? Because, you know, if I go to Walmart, I can't eat the meat that I buy at Walmart, and I can't go to Allwyn's because they worship that false god over there too. And so, I'm not going to be a herbivore, a vegetarian, or a weirdo, or whatever you called them earlier. I've got to have meat. And so what you had is you had one group of people that were saying, look, they may have dedicated to idols, but I'm not worshiping those false gods. I'm eating the bacon, right? And they had another group that said, well, I'm not going to touch the stuff. And what happened is they felt like they were more spiritual. The one that ate the meat felt like they were more spiritual because they could eat the meat that was worshiped to false gods and still worship the true God. And then you had the other group that felt like they were more spiritual because we don't eat meat that's dedicated to false gods. So that makes us spiritual. In this passage, he talks about weak brethren. And it's interesting because which one of those two groups would you think was weak? You think the weak one would be the one that was weak and couldn't say no to the meat and decided to eat the meat. That's my, you know, inclination would be to believe that. But when you look at this passage, the weak one was the one that ate the herbs. Not the one that smoked the herbs. Some of you taking that a little bit too far, all right? But the one that ate the herbs. And why were they eating the herbs? They were eating the herbs because they were not eating the meat. It's interesting that it was the one that took the higher standard that was considered weak. Paul does not, in this passage, Paul does not take a stand on this topic. Paul does not say in this passage, hey, eat the meat, and he does not say, hey, stay away from the meat. Paul's purpose in writing this under inspiration of the Spirit of God is simply to tell them not to despise one another over these kinds of things. We wouldn't argue about meat, but we argue about all those other things. And what happens is brethren start despising one another over foolish things like this. Our church used to be a part of a group of youth groups that would, once every quarter or so, we would have a fellowship or whatever you want to call it with other churches. And the churches would come together to the one church, and they would bring all their teenagers on that Sunday night, and they would play games, and they would preach to them, and they would sing together and things like that. And a few years ago, we had the opportunity to host one of those events here. And so we hosted it, and that was when Pastor Ben was with us. And Ben knew that the churches that were going to be coming to meet with us weren't in the same place that we were in as far as music goes. They were more conservative than we were. And so Ben toned down the music as much as he could. And some of you are like, toned down? I didn't know you could tone it down anymore. But he toned it down as much as he could. And we held the event, and we thought it went great. And then all of a sudden, we were like cut out of the events. We weren't invited anymore, and we're like, what's going on? And I found out just this week, actually, and this was years ago, this was probably at least 4 or 5 years ago, I found out this week that one of the pastors that sent his youth group to the event sent an email out to all of the other pastors and said what they did at that group was wrong. They had a bass guitar up on the platform. You guys know playing a bass guitar in church is not acceptable. If it's green, it's okay. You can use a green one, but all sent an email out and said, we disagree with the way they played the music, and we don't want them to be a part of our group anymore. Last I heard, when the scriptures say you have a disagreement with someone, you're supposed to go. I don't think it says send an email to all their friends and let them know to separate from them. I think it says to go and have a discussion between them. Is that the way you guys read it? That's the way I read it. But we didn't have this discussion. But rather what we did is we separated over something that, listen here, it ain't in the Bible. All right? And it's foolish for us to draw lines of distinction over things that are not clearly lined up for us in the scriptures. Listen, some people would say, well, the bass guitar is okay, but you can't have a set of drums. Let me just be straight up with you, all right? There's one reason we don't have a set of drums on our platform. Can I tell you why? We don't have anyone to play them right now, all right? So if you're interested, see Mark. I'm sure he'll put you into work, all right? And if that's a problem for you, I totally understand, because some of us grew up where we were conservative and we don't want to have certain things as a part of our worship. But listen, this is not a line of distinction to say that you're wrong and we're right, or we're wrong and you're right. The line of distinction that Paul is drawing in this passage is not over whether or not to eat meat. It's that we receive each other. As a matter of fact, if you're taking notes, that's the first one. Number one is we need to receive one another when it comes to these kinds of topics. There is no reason for us as believers, and specifically when we come together into our small groups and something like this comes up, there is no reason for us to despise one another because we have taken advantage of liberties that God has given us and someone else has chosen not to. The admonition that he gives us here in verse number one is this: him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. He says to receive him. The emphasis is not on who is considered strong or weak. The emphasis is on receiving one another. This word receive means to take by the hand. It means to take as a friend. It's the exact opposite of what verse number three says. Verse number three says to despise not one another. To despise someone means to consider them less than. They're lower than you. They're not as spiritual as you. They don't got it going on like you. It means to mock them. Is there someone with which you have a disagreement today? And I'm not talking about disagreements about, you know, our core fundamentals of the faith. You know, salvation is by grace through faith. You know, Jesus Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. It's him and him alone. We're going to take a strong stand where the Bible takes a strong stand. The college that I went to, the pastor there, he taught this. He said, where the Bible is clear, you need to be clear. But where the Bible is silent, you be silent. It's important for us to recognize our goal in this is to receive one another. So the person with which I'm having a disagreement, would I be receiving them now or would I be despising them? Like when I talk about them with other believers, when their name comes up, do I build them up or do I tear them down? I got to be honest with you. This is one that I've got to work on, because my tendency is I grew up very conservative, and so since I'm not where I used to be on some topics, my tendency is to look down on people that are where I once was. And you know what? That's not right. It's not right for me to look at them and go, oh, they're just sticklers, or they think they're more spiritual than me. Well, what I'm really saying is I think I'm more spiritual than them because so it goes both ways. This is not pointing the finger at one another and saying he's right and he's wrong or anything like that. What it is learning to receive one another, not to despise them. If you're having a hard time receiving them, look what it says at the end of verse number three. He says, let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. The person with which you disagree, if God can receive them, listen, so can we. If God can receive them, then we can as well. As a matter of fact, look what he says in verse number four. I love this. Who art thou? That's the old school way of saying, who do you think you are? So next time you look at someone, just go, who art thou? Who do you think you are that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth, or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. God help us whenever we come to these positions of disagreement. If we cast judgment upon someone else, whenever we have to, and we're missing out on the fact that God is the one that ultimately is going to judge them. My responsibility is not to judge them. My responsibility is to receive them. Whether they're less conservative than me or more conservative or more liberal or less liberal, it doesn't matter. Paul jumps back into it with another example in verse number 5 where he says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. What he's talking about here, we believe, is some of the old Jewish customs. Of course, they used to observe the Sabbath. They would worship on Saturday, the Sabbath, and there were some people that were still hanging on to that. And he said they see the Sabbath as being a big, important day, and they worship God on that day. But then other people are like, well, we can worship God on any day of the week and not just on Saturdays. He says at the end of verse number 5, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He's like, mind your own business, basically, is what he's saying. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. The guy that's worshiping on Saturday, he's doing it for God. And he that regardeth not the day, the guy that says, I can worship God on any day, he says, he regardeth it not, to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. When it comes to these topics, we don't know their motivations, but we do know ours. And whatever it is that we do, we need to do it unto the Lord, giving thanks for that thing. Feel you're more spiritual because you do or don't do something that someone else does, it doesn't matter. Ultimately, it's between you and God. We need to do it as unto the Lord. Even the way that we receive them can be done unto the Lord. Paul is going to drive home this point even more in verses 10 through 12 where he says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. God is going to be their judge, and God is going to be our judge. So, we receive them and let God deal with them. How many of you guys would say, I've got enough of my own problems, I don't need to take on someone else's? You know what I'm talking about? In our life groups, as we connect with one another, as we move into this new emphasis on the groups, let's remember that we will have disagreements, but let's start where Paul started when a disagreement comes up, and that is to receive one another. Not only are we to receive one another, but number two, we are to edify one another. There's a transition that takes place in verse number 13, and he says instead of judging, he's going to point out the incredible power that we wield in the lives of other believers. As a matter of fact, in these next few verses, you're going to see that when these disagreements arise, there are three things that a Christian can do to another Christian. We can cause them to stumble, we can grieve them, and we can destroy them. That's incredible power, is it not? As a matter of fact, see it for yourself in verses 13 through 15 here where he says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. If I haven't made it clear already, stop judging each other. Mind your own business, all right? Let's get along. He says, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Instead of judging each other, why don't you observe your own choices, your own decisions, your own interactions that you have with others, and make sure that you're not causing them to stumble. He says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. You know what he's saying here? He's like, listen, I understand that you can eat meat if you want to, because that meat's neither clean nor unclean. If you do it unto the Lord, that's fine. If you want to worship on Sabbath day, that's fine. He's like, it's either here nor there. It doesn't matter. He's like, but to the person that takes a strong stand against that, to them it is strong. To them it is unclean. Later on, he's going to say, whatever you do, do it by faith. And so in their own hearts, they think it's wrong for them to participate in those things. So in verse number 15, he says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. the way that we handle our disagreements is very important. According to verse number 15, the question is not, how does my decision impact me? The question that we need to consider is, how does it impact them? The choices that I'm making, the interactions that I have with them, is there potential for them to stumble? Is there potential for them to be grieved? Is there potential for them to be destroyed? Sometimes the best way to edify someone is not by having the right words to say. You know, edify means to build up. And so when we think about building someone up, like if I'm going to try to build up Mikey, and I come down here, I'm going to build up Mikey, then in my mind I'm thinking, I've got to make sure that I say all the right words. Man, you're looking good today. Those are new shoes, new glasses. Man, you're looking good. I love the haircut. Yeah, man, that's awesome. Last week it looked crazy, but it looks good this week. And I'm edifying. But listen, sometimes the best way to edify someone is not with the words that you say. Sometimes it's with the words that you choose not to say. Sometimes we need to take into consideration where they are before I begin to bring up and talk about certain topics. Listen, we talk about this often, but I think it's important because it comes into what we're talking about here. We understand this when it comes to the gospel. Like, if Mikey over here doesn't know that he's saved, and he is, he just trusted Christ as a Savior at camp this last year, this summer, and so thank the Lord for that. But let's say that Mikey's not saved. There's a lot of things that I could talk to Mikey about. I could talk to him about what the Bible says about homosexuality, or I could talk to him about what the Bible says about, all kinds of different things. And a lot of Christians, we like to get caught up on that. And we want to talk to other people about, you know, what the Bible says about these difficult topics that are really hard for a politically correct society to look at and see what the Bible says clearly. I can talk about all of those things, but listen, do any of those things matter to a person that is unregenerate, that doesn't know Christ as their Savior? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he believes in the Big Bang Theory. It doesn't matter if he watches the Big Bang Theory on TV. It doesn't matter if he is for or against homosexuality. I don't care if he smokes or if he drinks or any of that stuff. None of it matters. His main need is to recognize that he is a sinner in need of a Savior, and God sent his Son to be that person. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And by grace, God will save anyone that calls upon him. I understand that when I'm dealing with lost people. Some of you this morning may say, well, I think it's important that we make sure they know how to vote. You think that's important? Some of us need to realize that some of the stupid junk that we put on social media and stuff like that, all we're doing is driving people away from the gospel. I don't care if you love Trump or hate Trump. You know, I love Jesus Christ, and I'd rather people know that I am for Christ, and he is the only way, and Trump is going to pass on just like the rest of them. And it's important that when we're dealing with lost people, we keep the main thing the main thing. But can I tell you that the same thing is true when it comes to other believers? As I mentioned before, I come from a very conservative background, and so I still have friends that are very conservative. I have friends, as you heard earlier, that won't come to our church because they don't like our music. And that's fine, all right? Do you guys like it? It's not for you anyway. It's for God. And so, thank the Lord, right? And Mark made me say that. But, okay, he didn't. But here's what it boils down to. With those more conservative friends, there are certain things that I just don't bring up when I'm around them. I grew up, and they told us that it was a sin to go to the movie theater. Anybody ever heard that before? It's a sin to go to the movie theater. Like when I was in Christian school, if you went to the movie theater, you could get demerited, possibly even kicked out. When I went to Bible college, I'm a grown man, and I couldn't go watch a movie, or I could get kicked out of Bible college. Like it was a real thing. So I still have certain friends that think it's the devil's whatever. They won't go to the movie theater, but they'll rent it as soon as it comes out on a Redbox, or they can stream it on Netflix, but that's a whole other topic. But anyway, when I get around those guys, I know I'm not going to bring up the whole movie thing because I know where they stand and I know where I stand. And quite honestly, the Bible doesn't stand either way. To him, it is sinful because he can't do it by faith. And so he says, that's just where I'm at. It's real to me. And for me, it's like, hey, I'm going to go. I'm going to eat the overpriced popcorn and enjoy it, right? A lot of my friends, they still think that women ought not wear pants. That's a big thing, you know, and that's fine if they want to do that. And we have chosen to go in a little bit different direction there. But here's what I know. I'm not going to bring up that topic with them because I know where I stand, and I know where they stand. I could talk about a lot of different ones here. I joke around about the music, but I love some of the newer songs that Mark has been introducing. They're just so doctrinally rich. And there have been other friends of mine that are more conservative than me that I want to tell about those songs. Like that Yet Not I love that song. His Mercy Is More, that song. But I know I can't bring up those songs to my conservative friends because if it's not in the hymnal, then you're not supposed to sing it. It's just a position that some people take, you know. Like, well, it was written by a certain person, and you can't sing what that person writes. And that's fine. I'm not against them because we disagree on that topic. I just know that when I get around them, we're not going to talk about pants, we're not going to talk about movies, and we're not going to talk about new music. But I tell you what we can talk about, Jesus. You know what we can talk about is what the Lord's doing at his church and what the Lord's doing at our church. What we can do is talk about the burdens that God has put upon us. Listen, you can be friends with people that you disagree with. Did you guys know that? Like, you can still get along and not believe all of the same things. And that's what Paul is trying to drive home here, is that we have a choice whenever we're faced with these disagreements. We can either judge them or we can edify them. We can either cause drama and push them away, or we can have peace and receive them. My responsibility is not to win them over to my opinion. My responsibility is to receive them and edify them. Look what he says in verses 16 through 19. He says, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things," I love this, "which make for peace. And things wherewith one may edify another." How many of you guys would say, "I am a person that avoids confrontation at all costs"? Anybody like that? Like, I avoid it. How many of you guys like, "I kind of like drama, and I'm a little bit of an instigator"? Anybody like that? Some of you are like, "You don't know these." I love this verse. He's not talking about life in general. He's talking very specifically about brothers and sisters in Christ that we may disagree on a topic about. When it comes to them, try to be the peacemaker. Isn't that what Jesus said? Blessed are the peacemakers. And we need to be looking for ways to build them up, to edify them, is what he tells us in verse 19. This doesn't mean that we have to avoid tough topics. It means that we handle those topics with civility and under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to say that again because I think that's important. When it comes to these topics, we do not avoid difficult subjects that need to be dealt with. But when they need to be dealt with, we need to do it with civility and under the direction of the Spirit of God. Amen. Asking God for wisdom, seeking to edify them, seeking to make peace. He continues on in verse number 20 and he says, "And for meat, destroy not the work of God." You know what? There's a lot of good relationships that God has allowed some of us to have that we need, but we've destroyed those relationships because we took such a strong stand on a position that was not taken by the Word of God. And what it has done is it has pushed away brethren and sisters that we need. Now, again, I'm not just talking about churches separating from each other. We're talking about in the context of our own church here. And in our groups where we're trying to connect with one another. This stuff is going to happen. If it hasn't happened already, it's going to happen. And may God help us to not destroy others, destroy the work of God for meat. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. I've got so many stories I could tell, but we got to keep moving on here. Verse number 21 says, "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." Boy, that verse right there probably doesn't need to be read in a lot of churches, because did you see what he says here? It's not good to eat flesh nor to drink wine. And he's not saying it's not good to drink wine. He's saying if you're going to drink wine, don't do it if it's going to make somebody stumble. Right. Moving on. When it comes to preferences, preferences are things that are not clearly spelled out in the scriptures. When it comes to preferences, my responsibility is to handle them, like it says in verses 22 and 23. He says, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's interesting because here he is, he's talking about arguing and fighting with one another, but he closes out the chapter by saying, it's not about how you interact with them as much as it is how you interact yourself with God. In this verse here, he says, you got to think about your standing with God whenever you're handling these things. Gray areas are not to be requirements for fellowship, and holding to differences and preferences is good when we hold them in love. When we hear all these things, we may be thinking, it sounds like a lot of work. Wouldn't it just be easier to surround ourselves with people that agree with us? But look what he says in chapter 15 and verse number 1. This thought continues. He says, we then, so he's building off of what he just said in the last chapter. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good. To edification. Do you see this? We get so self-consumed and so self-focused. It's all about me, what I want, what I believe, what I think is right and wrong. He says, but let's do it for their good, to their edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. Just as God was patient and consoled you, we need to do the same thing for them. Verse 6 says, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. The last point, if you're taking notes, is this. We need to please one another. Receive one another, edify one another, and please one another. True Christian maturity is found in the absence of selfishness. Pleasing one another is about sacrificing to help someone else. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. How many guys have ever sacrificed sleep for one of your children? Sacrificed money for one of your children? If you're married, you know what it's like to sacrifice things in order for the other person to be pleased or to be built up. Paul here is not talking about the child-parent relationship or the husband-wife relationship, but he's talking about a relationship with other believers, specifically other believers with whom we have disagreements. Paul actually said in another passage of scripture that he would never eat meat again if he knew that it would cause a brother to fall. It's a pretty strong stand. When was the last time that you sacrificed to help a weaker brother? When was the last time that a weaker Christian that you know that you're friends with, you sacrificed in order to help them? Listen, it glorifies God when we do this. These last two verses, verses 6 and 7, we read them already, but I want to read them again. He says, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. You know what's interesting is he says, one mind and one mouth. These minds and mouths had differing opinions. The minds were different and the mouths were different. But he said, whenever we are looking to receive one another, to edify one another, and please one another, what happens is those minds and mouths that are different can with one mind and mouth glorify God. There's a lot of things I love about our church. And I've been looking forward to speaking today because we had a guest speaker 2 weeks ago, then I was gone last week, so I've just been raring to get up here and talk, and so we're still on time, so it's okay. But there's a lot of things I love about our church, but one of the things I love about our church is our church has people in it that are Republican and Democrat. I love that. Like, there are people that voted for Trump, there are people that voted for Hillary, and there are people in here that voted third party. And it's okay. Like, we still get along. Like, all right, the third party people are here, the Trump people are here, and the Hillary, we all separate, you know? No, with one mind and one mouth, we're glorifying God. One of the things I love about our church is we have people that take stronger stands on certain things. There are some people that say, I totally stay off of social media because it's just not healthy for me, or I feel like it's just not right for me. And there are other people that we can't get you off of social media. I mean, even the more difficult topics, and I've mentioned this before, my wife told me I shouldn't have, so I'll go ahead and say it again. But we have people in our church that vaccinate their children and other people that don't. How many of you guys know that's a topic? If you've been on social media, you know what I'm talking about, you know? But here's what I love. We all still get along. Isn't that awesome? Like, there are strong opinions even on that topic. Let's just talk about this one, too. There are people in our church that have tattoos. And they're intending to get even more. And there are people in our church that you would never get a tattoo. And you know what? We still get along. Isn't that awesome? You know, there are so many different things. There are some of you that are more conservative in your music, and there is no way you would ever turn on 91.5 WCIC because it sounds like rock music to you, and you are not interested. You're kind of uncomfortable with some of the stuff we do up here. And then there are other people who are like, I just love Clint Black, you know, and that's the only country person I could think of. Florida-Georgia line. I mean, we're country around here. There's a lot of country people around here, you know. I mean, totally opposite ends of the spectrum. But you know what? We can all get along. You know, long before Rodney King said it, Jesus said it. You know, remember what Rodney King said? Can't we all just get along? And that's what God was leading Paul to write in Romans chapter 14. It was about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a man that attended our church, and they've since moved away, but he was asked to describe our church to one of his coworkers. They were working together. And he said, you know, the best way I can think of to describe our church, he said, this last Sunday, he said, I was standing out there in the foyer, and he said, I was wearing a full suit, you know, coat, tie, dress, shoes, everything. He said, I was standing right next to a guy in shorts and a t-shirt. And this is what he said, and we've both felt perfectly comfortable. Good job, guys. I love our church. I do. And I get a chance to stand up here and speak, but it's not Josh that makes this church. It's the Spirit of God working through you guys and you guys loving one another in spite of our differences. And when we connect with each other in these new life groups, when these things come up, I know that you're going to handle them with the same grace that Paul is calling us to handle them with here, because I've seen you do it in the past. And if you're in that spot right now where you're in a situation where you're having difficulty with another believer, I want to encourage you just to dive back into Romans 14 or maybe listen to the podcast again, and just try to figure out how the Lord can help you to receive them, to edify them, and to encourage and please them. May Grace Baptist Church be a safe place where we receive, edify, and please one another. Let's pray together.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.